Are we live? There we are. Hi, welcome to the High Holiday Service. I'm Rabbi Brian. I have lots of my friends here on Zoom.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Thank you guys for all being here.
Kids.
Oh, hi. I see little ones. Hi, little ones. Just so you know, I do not censor my language.
That's okay. They just wanted to say hello to everyone.
I'm very much in the belief system that religion, if we're it's okay. constrained, is not free. So I'm
here we go. They just wanted to wish everyone a good evening.
Thank you so much, kiddos. Now go to bed and floss your teeth.
Yeah, thank you.
Good. Well, I will wait another moment or so.
I apologize for my poor English.
Oh, that's okay, Claudio, because most of our German and our French is not so good. And right. I think you have us
like
beat there.
Sit down. Just sit down.
Good.
Very mal.
Oh, hello, Ethan. Is your bride with you as well?
She is on her way home. She's running a little bit late, but she'll be here shortly.
Glad the marital bliss is still happening for you guys. I don't know that it is. I'm just assuming it should be. I'll give people another moment. We have a whole bunch of people here. I'm delighted. And I had a 13-year-old with whom I'm doing a bat mitzvah. I said, oh my gosh, I'm a little bit pressured with all the people who are showing up. And she said, don't worry about it. They already like you.
So, there you go.
I'm taking that to heart. And I want to do a little shout out to my friend.
Everyone
Emma.
Likes you.
Well, not everyone, actually, Claudio. I trust me. But thank you. Thank you for that. And
I'm going to show you my mother, okay?
My mother's on the line right now.
My mother. This is my mother.
Oh, your mother. Hello, Michael's mother.
That's Nancy.
Oh, that's whose iPad you've been using.
This is Nancy's iPad.
Every time Michael logs on, it says Nancy's iPad.
This is Nancy's iPad, right here.
What's Nancy?
That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy, for joining and for.
I'm happy to be with you.
Oh, and I see Brian McNeil has joined with his bride. Wonderful. Hello. Glad to see you guys. Well, I'm going to get us started. I think this is enough time for. Oh, and anyone who's following along on Facebook, we cannot hear you. If you're on Zoom, I can see you.
Zoom service.
Oh, hey, David Mattson. We can hear you. I don't know if you knew that. Hi.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, we can hear you. Hi, kids. Hey. Those kids just had one of the best bat mitzvahs that I didn't officiate. Because it was a beautiful thing that they said, if really we are supposed to be autonomous and we're the ones who are supposed to be making decisions, we officially call off this bar and bat mitzvah. And I said, okay. And the Mattson family did their own thing. They made up their own service. And I consulted as a rabbi from the outside, but they didn't need the rabbi there. And I thought that was just so fantastic.
Wow.
Oh, hey, Rita. And hi, Ruth. Glad everyone's here. Everyone who is here is here. I'm going to take a moment to breathe some air. I have been so looking forward to this. I'm glad you guys are here. So, hi, welcome, Rabbi Brian Zachary Mayer. First, I want to acknowledge the fact that my home on which I live, from which I'm sending this, was on land that was once from the Cowlitz and Clackamas tribes. If you would like to look at where it is that you live and who used to live there, up in the chat right now, if things are going right, Alex has just put into the chat a map that you can look at either now or later to give a sense of where whose land you are on. I am going to, as you might know, I am an ordained rabbi, HUCJIR, class of 1993-1994. And then, as you might know, I left organized religion, became a high school mathematics teacher, and now I run Religion Outside the Box, and I want to welcome you here. Tonight, it's the Friday night between Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, and Yom Kippur, the Jewish Day of Atonement. And this service is a Jewish service in that it follows the structure of Vidui Kol Nidre Unatana Tokef Yisker and Ni'ila. However, if you didn't know any of those words, you are not alone. Most people don't know those words, and you're welcome here no matter how your language skills are. After the candle lighting prayers that are going to be in Hebrew in just a moment, this service will be conducted almost entirely in English. There will be interactive parts, and as a little aside, and I've been teasing some of my rabbinic colleagues who are now running services online for the first time, I've been saying, congratulations, you're finally catching up to me. I thought that was much funnier when I wrote it than the way you guys just reacted.
It's funny. Ryan,
how many are we?
It looks like there's 79 people watching on Zoom at this moment.
Wow.
But thank you for asking, Claudio. We are here, and I want us to take a moment to remember, and I'm really saying this for me, that this is not a race, and that we should ponder the 90 minutes or so together that life isn't a race. There's no prize for going faster. And a quote that I like, and I say this often when I stream meditation and social media, I will often quote Gandhi, who said, there is more to life than merely increasing its speed. I'll say that again so that you all hear it. There is more to life than merely increasing its speed. And before I get to the service,
Bless you.
I suggest you have a piece of paper, something to write down next to you, because there will be wisdom that's shared, and I want you to be able to hold on to it. A few ground rules. Many of you have your microphones unmuted, and that's how I like it. I like this to be as live as possible, as so long as you don't have a dog screaming children, unmute your microphone so that we can interact and we can be attentive and we can hear each other.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But also to be careful not to talk too much, because we have 80 people in the room. I will be talking the most. That's my job. So if you have dogs, you don't hear them bark as well as we hear them bark. So if you have dogs, please put yourself on bark patrol. Also, from time to time, I will look out and I will see people, and I will use my public school teacher skills, and I will see your facial expression, and I will think, oh, they wanted to say something, or maybe you were putting your hand in the air like this, like you wanted to talk, and I will call on you. Now, sometimes it's because you were about to scratch your head or you were about to sneeze, and I call on you to answer something, and maybe you're introverted and you don't feel so comfortable talking. If I call on you, you don't want to answer, just politely tell me to move on. That's fine. A few other announcements before we continue. My friend Alex, who's there under Alex and Scott, I want to thank her for amazing technical skills and helping with the logistics. So thank you so much, Alex, for doing that. And I want to thank Joe and her amazing human skills, who helps in the chat box. Also, hi, Joe. I want to ask... in the chats, that you don't dwell in the chats, because the service is up here. And let's try to reserve the chat for Alex posting the quotes that I'm going to be using, and for technical help, and if you need help with something, a question to be answered. And this way we can give you links. Okay. I'm excited. I'm anxious. I've been looking forward to this. I've never run this service before. I've never run anything close to this service before. The advantage of doing a service that you've done before is you know what to expect. Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly how this is going to go, but this is live, and I hope it goes well. I'm going to let go of the outcomes as I prepare to light the Shabbat candles that are right behind me. And I'm going to ask you if you could let go of if you would also let go of outcomes at this moment. I'll light the candles. Hold on.
How come they run this
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam. Asher kedshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu lehadlik ner, lehadlik ner shel Shabbat.
Amen.
Amen.
We'll continue in English. Breathe. Breathe another breath. And now that it has been mentioned, as you are conscious of your breath, and you might not have been conscious of your breathing until attention was drawn to it. Life is like that. Shabbat, a Sabbath, is like that. And this holiday is like that. Being aware that we have the ability to be aware, to stop, to breathe, to move our awareness off of cruise control. Life will happen, conscious of it or not, and breath, either conscious of it or not. We are alive either way, but the two ways are not the same, either conscious or not. High Holiday Service uses hyperbolic language, telling us that if we do not wake up to life before us, we will in fact die. The vows together as a community, no matter the physical distance between us, is that we will wake up and witness the magic, the miracles of the mundane. Let us all be here, awake, awake, breathing and marveling at the miracles before our eyes. And let us say together, amen.
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 Amen. Amen. We are here. But where are we? Where are you? In a moment, I'm going to have us break into small groups to answer those questions. Where are you? And we'll be answering the where are you question in two different ways. I want you to answer both physically in your small group where you are, and I want you to answer metaphysically. But before I do that, I want to tell you a joke. There's a tourist lost who asks a fellow, excuse me, might you tell me how to get to? And she names a location. The local doesn't answer. She follows up. Do you know where such and such location is? Sure do, comes the reply. Just give me a moment, I'm thinking about it. Some time passes. Some more time passes. I've thought about it, you know, and see, he says. Well, if I were you, I wouldn't start from here. In a moment, I'm going to break you into small groups. And you're going to have to accept to go into those groups. And I want you to think about where your soul is, not where you want it to be, that destination, but where it is right now. As though, and I want you to think about your soul as though it were something separate and distinct from you. I want you to tell the people in your group where you physically are and then to express as though you're a diagnostician, expert, separate and apart from your psyche, which, by the way, is just the Greek word for soul. I want you to give an analysis of where you are and where your soul is. A really full example, a full response as example. I would tell you, I'm Brian, I'm in Portland, Oregon, in Cowlitz and Clackamas territories, and my soul is tired. Tired of the meanness that is going around. The constant beam that my soul would emanate of hope now flickers off from time to time. Okay, granted, I had extra time to prepare my answer. I'm quite aware of that. Let me finish my prepared answer. My soul's love is still at top notch, but it's tired, and to use a phrase of Joan Chittister's, my soul is currently limping.
Oh, wow.
Now,
Seuss-ish, too.
You need a rest.
Yes, we all do. Mm. Some of you might not feel as eloquent as what I just said, and that's fine, because it doesn't matter. If you think about Abelard and Heloise, they wrote great sonnets of love to each other. But that doesn't mean that their love was any greater than the love Jane and I have when we say, I love you with all my heart, 2/3 of my spleen, and most of my liver. It doesn't have to be beautiful language when you say where your soul is. It just has to be honest. allow yourself not to be perfect, and that's perfectly fine. Again, the questions are, where are you physically and where are you metaphysically? And I'm going to break you into small groups. You're going to have to accept that you want to join that small group, and we're going to come back here in about 5 minutes' time. So here you go.
Rabbi Brian, do the small groups get streamed over Facebook, or they're just our little groups?
They're just your little groups. You're private in your own little world. Thank you for asking. And if somebody else could tell them that before you all disappear.
I heard it. Thank Good. You.
Okay, so if you would all join your rooms, you're on your way. Well, here's just a small group of those who are here. Hello, Lynn. Hello, Jane. Hello, Marlene. Hello, GNB33N. I don't know who that is. Oh, they left. Jane, are you in this room? Yes? No? No. She left. Derek is still here. Lynn in Alberta, are you in this room still? It's just me. I think Lynn has left this room as well. I'm going to set myself a little timer. If you're watching just on Facebook, hi, Coral. Glad to see you're here. If you're just watching on Facebook, it's just me and you right now. Can you put up on Facebook, put a little thing in the chat saying where you are? And if you're listening to this afterwards, I know this is goofy, but nobody knows that you're alone. They might think you have a headset in. Would you just say out loud as though I could hear you? I can't. But would you say out loud where you are? Hi, Frank. Say out loud where you are physically and where you are metaphysically. Hi, Frank. Are you just joining us?
Just joining you. I had problems getting on Zoom.
No worries. You're here, my friend. That's fantastic.
Of course. I wouldn't miss it.
The question is, and the reason it's just you and me, the question is, where are you physically? Everyone's in small groups answering that. And then where are you metaphysically? Like, what's the status of your soul right now? And I just told everyone, and I'll repeat to you, I'm in Portland, Oregon, physically. And my soul is, and the phrase I used was, my soul is limping badly. Like, yeah, it's still going.
I hear you.
But I'm tired. I'm tired of all the meanness that's going on. And it's really hard for me to maintain hope. And that's where my soul is right now. Do you mind sharing, Frank?
I'm with you on that. Yeah, I'm in San Francisco today with Jerry.
Oh, hi,
right
Jerry.
Here.
Hi there. We decided to come on our boat for Yom Kippur.
I love it.
So I'm in San Francisco, and my soul is very sad because today is 1 year that my mom passed away.
Oh, is it? I'm so sorry.
25th of September last year.
Wow.
And also because of everything that's going on in this country right now, it just saddens me so much. That's where I'm metaphysically.
And you're not wearing your super hat right now.
You know what? It was a snap decision yesterday. Went to the airport, flew out, and I'm like, oh my God, I left my capillary at home. So
no worries,
yeah, I don't
no
even
worries.
For the service today. I don't have one.
I'm
I
just
hope you
teasing
don't.
You. You it does.
No,
because
I love it. I love it. And ask Jerry. He's going to tell you that I use it all the time.
All the time. Yeah.
Hi, Jerry. Good, good. I thank you. I'm gonna close the rooms, and they're gonna be everyone okay. else is about to join back in. In 60 seconds, they're gonna join back in.
All
so
right.
I'll tell you what we've gotten to so far. Well, here they come. Hi, Betsy. Welcome back.
Damn it! I left too soon. I left just as soon as Joe was telling me where she was metaphysically.
How do we do on time? Was that about enough time?
We were just about to. We were on our last two. Joe and Ken were together,
good.
And I missed them. So,
okay.
But Joe and Ken are in St. Louis, and I was going to unmute myself to say that's where I'm from, and then I accidentally left the room. So.
You are from there, yeah. Okay. Well, welcome back, people. Hello, Steins. Good to see you.
Thank you.
I saw you kids kissing a moment ago.
Ooh.
You gotta watch what you do on Zoom because we can see you.
Oh, that's true.
Well, good on you guys. Mr. and Mrs. Stein, give me some names so I know who you are.
This is Debbie, and this is Sydney, and I'm Stein, and he's Mockinger, and he is my 98-year-old sweetheart.
Debbie and...
Oh.
That's beautiful. Tell me the names again. Debbie and...
Sydney.
My last name is Mockinger.
That's a good. I'm just going first names right now, Sydney. Thank you.
Brian, yes. Debbie is my mom.
Oh.
I put that in the chat.
So this is great. It's Bring Your Mom to Services Day. Michael did that. I did that. Jill, you did that.
I tried, but my mom was up
there. Rabbi Brian, yes, we needed 10 minutes. We only have 5 minutes. My soul is feeling very unfulfilled at the moment.
Well, there's
Rabbi Brian.
There's something that I know, which is I'm never going to please everybody. So if it was not enough time, I'm sorry it wasn't enough time for you. Let me circle us back. Thank you all for sharing with each other. The point of this service, again, is to reawaken us into life. We will get there at the end of this service. We will get towards talking about faith and hope, but we aren't there yet.
Leave.
First,
Robert, come on. You're just such a dick.
That's fine. Listen, we don't need to be Zoom bombed. We can handle this ourselves.
The question is who?
It doesn't matter. Who knows who it was? Hi, Rob. Glad to see you.
Oh, my God.
I love that. And what's great is nobody knows the thing bounced around so quickly. I don't know who that was, and I don't know that anyone else does.
I do, and I muted them.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you, Alex. Let me just say.
You're good, Alex.
Hold on. This is the Day of Atonement. The reason we need a Day of Atonement is we all fuck up. We all do things with the microphone on live. We will get there. Let me do my best. Okay, let me see if I'm... Thank you, guys. In order for us to get, like the woman asking for directions, for us to get to hope, to get to faith, we have to really think about where it is that we are. And because we are where we are, we can't get to where we want to be. Whoever's got the child who needs to be asleep, would you please mute yourself? I don't know who that is, but somebody's, we're hearing more than we need to. Okay, that's fantastic. We need to look at regret and remorse, because that's where we are. And that's where we are, and that's in the past. And in order for us to look to the future, we have to clean up and figure out how to get out of where we are. We can't look at the future until we have figured out the present. This is where Jewish tradition comes in. Jewish tradition offers us a map towards the future. It goes like this: confessional, absolution, resignation, asking of our ancestors, and conclusion. And if you're paying attention, those are the five Hebrew parts to a Yom Kippur service. Let's start with confessional. Judaism, we call it Heshbon HaNefesh. In Islam, it's referred to as Jihad al-Naf, which, by the way, is the primary use of the word jihad, which is a war of the soul. It's you do a self-introspection. We call it a fourth step, making a searching and fearless inventory of ourselves. But the game plan is any way we call it, to do a deep dive. And it's not a pretty thing that you'd want to make a scrapbook out of, because we're talking about shortcomings. And we can't move past the things we have done badly until we know the things, which brings us back to the joke. We want to feel lightened, joyous, and happy, and it would be easier if we didn't have to start from here, but this is where we are. And I want you to think, of something you wish you hadn't done. Something that you regret, or even more than that, something that causes you shame. And take a moment and make a note or two about those things as I continue to talk. Jewish tradition, I want you to think, what is it that you did wrong? What is it that you have in the past that's keeping you from the future? Jewish tradition is to share our shortcomings in a community, much like we are now. And in the Jewish tradition, we do it as an acrostic A to Z. In the first person plural, we always say we. For the wrongdoing we have done, for our anger. For the wrongdoing we have done by our bossiness, anger A, bossiness B, until we get to Z. For the wrongdoing we have done by our zeal for unjust causes, we go A to Z to give us a sense that it's
incorporated.
Yes.
Inclusive.
Inclusive. Incorporated. That it's all of us together. And we always say we to give an idea that if one of us has transgressed or strayed, we have all transgressed or strayed. And this year with the use of technology, I want to make this communal listing, not just our wrongdoings, but I want us to do it publicly and anonymously. Watch how this will work. When you think of these things, in the words of Brené Brown, these intensely painful feelings or experiences that make us believe we are flawed and therefore unworthy of love and belonging, feelings might come up. Alex hopefully will have put in right now a link in the chat to an anonymous Google document. So if you go into the link, please. If you go to the link, you should be able to open up a Google Doc. When you open, if you put your finger on the key, if you click somewhere, it should say anonymous squirrel, anonymous hippo, anonymous something. If you don't get anonymous and you get yourself, take a look here. You want to open up an incognito window or a private tab if you're on Safari. Look at that technology we're doing. Alex, can you highlight me for a second so people can see it? So I want you to start an incognito window or private window so that you can do this without anyone knowing. Now, if you're like the Steins and you're together, or you're like their children, Jill and Bob, and you're with other people, maybe write these things on a piece of paper separately so people don't have to see what you're writing. Bringing these things to light can help us to get to where it is we want to get from the imperfect here where we are. So if you click on the link, are you in the document? Are we in the document? Do people give me a thumbs up, a hands up? Yes, we're in the document some. And yes. Is anyone having problems with the anonymity feature? Please post into the chat. Please post into the chat. If you're on a tablet, I don't know exactly how to make it work, so then write things out by hand. But I want you to be able to see what people are writing. Oh. I want you to be able to see, and I'm going to give us all some time, and if I got it right, here we go. I'm going to put a 5-minute timer up, and let's see what comes up in our time. And I'm going to move myself over to the document as well.
Hey, Rabbi, yes. If I'm signed into Google, will it show my name?
Click anywhere, and if you see your name, yes, it's going to show your name. So then do a private window. If it doesn't show your name, no, it will not show. If when you click it says something like anonymous turtle, then it's not going to show your name.
Rabbi Brian, I'm on my cell phone, so I can't participate.
So then write something yourself. Write something on your own. That should work just fine. If you're on Facebook, you're going to have to do it by yourself as well. And I am going... There we go.
I need a little help. I clicked on something and all I see is my little tiny Zoom stamp and I can't get back. Alex, help.
Let's see what we can do. If it
there does, we are. Got
you,
it.
You got it?
Hi. Sorry. Thank you.
Okay.
We are just so you know, we are taxing Google to have us all do this. They don't have to be alphabetically. They can be any way you have. Thank you all for posting these things. It's beautiful.
Now we're back.
Where do I write it?
And if you are finished with writing your own, take a moment and open your heart to read all the things that other people have done and see if you can't find compassion for them.
You want to listen to their all the things that them have. Yeah.
I guess it would be interesting.
Yeah. And folks, if you feel like we don't need the rest of the time, please let me know. Again, I've never run this service before, so I'm not exactly certain how long this piece takes.
We're going back to the beginning?
No, it's continuing.
Oh. Everyone have their dinner so they can eat?
Mm-hmm. Ice? Yes.
And the instructions again for doing a private window if you need it. This is for Chrome and for Safari only. Those are the ones I had available. Is you go up to File and you hit New Private Window or New Incognito tab.
I have to take this in the other room.
And Jane, can I ask you a question? Do we need more time to do this, or do you think we're about done?
Jane?
You can just give me a visual. We're good? Okay, we'll stop there, folks. Thank you, Jane. So, I'm going to show. Okay. Absolution. Jewish tradition. Oh boy. Janie, you got to mute because I'm getting feedback. You are muted. That's so strange. Sorry. All right, let me try this way. Jewish tradition, I think, is wonderful about the mourning process and the rules for absolution, about atonement, about absolution, atonement. Here are the words from the Talmud, written around the year 500 from Tractate Yoma, chapter 8, verse 9. It says, quote, "One who says, I shall sin and repent, Yom Kippur does not repent. One who says, I will sin and Yom Kippur will atone for me, Yom Kippur does not affect atonement." That is to say, you aren't allowed to steal the bicycle and then ask for forgiveness. Yom Kippur does not flatten out any kind of deals like that. And it says this, and this is very important. For transgressions between a person and the God of their understanding, Yom Kippur gives atonement. But for transgressions between a person and their fellow, Yom Kippur does not affect atonement until the fellow has been pacified. Yom Kippur only works for any wrongdoings we have done on a vertical plane, so to say. But for anything wrongdoings we have done to another human being, Yom Kippur does not affect atonement until the person you have wronged has been pacified. That is, if we've done someone wrong, we must make amends. And Judaism, because it's Judaism, says, what if... we try to make amends, and the person we try to make amends to denies us our atonement. What then? And the answer goes like this. If you've tried three sincere times, honestly, you've made attempts, and you still aren't forgiven, in that case, the Day of Atonement will make amends for you. So I ask you to go back and think about what you wrote on the list. And I ask you if there are things you need to take off of the list because you have not made amends for them. And I ask you to take them off of our communal list and put them onto your own list. And officially you have between now and Monday to get these things done. The timetable is very important because if we didn't have a timetable, we would continue to just put it off. So please go back onto the list, think about the things that you wrote. and see if there's anything you have to take off. We're going to get to absolution in a moment, but first I want to change the focus and say, what if somebody, it wasn't someone did something, we didn't do something against them. Maybe it's something they did to us. Maybe they didn't invite us to a wedding. Maybe they misplaced the thingy we so beloved. Maybe they routinely forgot to prioritize you. Must you forgive them?
Oh, we're back on. What? Kiddo?
I'm going to give a mute on that channel. Okay. Do we have to forgive somebody if they have wronged us? And I'm going to ask us to make a ledger chart. And the ledger chart is going to be for positives and negatives. It's going to be, these are things that would make forgiving them easier, and these are the things that would make forgiving them harder. And I'm going to ask people if you can help me to figure out what are the things that will make it easier or harder to forgive somebody for having done something. Somebody has done something to you, and I'll give you the definition of forgiveness. Forgiveness is to stop feeling angry or resentful for an offense, flaw, or mistake of another person. It's to stop feeling angry. Good spelling, Brian. To stop feeling angry for an offense, flaw, or mistake that another person has done. What are the things that make it easier to stop being angry at someone's offense, flaw, or mistake? What makes it easier or harder? Dale, you're just probably adjusting your camera, but it looked like you were raising your hand.
I was, but I was thinking that if I know a person's backstory, that they've been under a lot of stress, or that buttons have been pushed, then it's easier for me to forgive.
A compassionate backstory. Great. And then I saw another hand. Sherry, what do you have?
How about sometimes just time?
It makes it easier. Time. Wait a second. Anyone here find that time sometimes doesn't work and it just makes it worse? Mm-hmm. We got a few hands for that. I have a few therapists who said yes on that. So, Sherry, I agree with you, but there are also some caveats. So, time.
Let's be both.
If we're going to put time on both sides. What are other things that make it easier or harder to forgive someone? You might forgive this person. Yes, Jess Miller, what do you have?
I definitely think seeing someone making the effort to not do the behavior that I find offensive or flawed or bad or whatever.
If they repeat the behavior, it's going to make it much harder to forgive them because, hey, dude, you should have known by now. Yeah. Carol, hold on a second. Carol, what do you have?
When you find yourself doing the same thing you didn't like what they did.
That makes it easier.
Yeah. When you realize, oh my God, I see how they did it because I'm doing it myself.
Makes it much easier to forgive them because we're going to probably forgive ourselves. Oh, hi, Madeline and Aaron and little baby. Hi. What else makes it easier or harder? Brian, Michael, you were scratching your nose. That was not a hand raise.
I was scratching my nose.
I apologize. I got like teacher radar. Jane is scratching her nose now. I think that was intentional. I can't tell. Yeah, you're just being my wife. That's fantastic. Brian McMichael, do you have something you want to add? Something that makes it easier or harder?
Yeah, if someone has not just not repeated, but actually started to manifest positive behaviors.
There's not only not repeated, but now they have turned their way around. What are things that make it harder to forgive someone? Come on, give me some of those, the nasty ones. Claudio, go ahead.
Brian, my eldest brother is a pro-dictatorship. He defends dictatorship. Absolutely impossible to accept, to forgive him.
Ah, okay. So if somebody is a bastard, it's harder to forgive them.
It's very hard.
Right? If the person is charming, it's much easier to forgive them. How about if the person takes no responsibility for the thing they did?
Exactly.
That might be under the bastard category.
Exactly.
Give me some
keep
more.
Repeating it.
Yeah, go ahead, Jeff.
If they keep repeating that,
yeah,
what they're doing.
Good. Hey, Brian.
Doing it not only to you, but doing it to other people.
Yeah, go ahead, Jane.
I think though that that to say that the person's a bastard, like Claudio's brother is just a bastard. I think that's too easy. Because I think what it's about is it's very difficult for me to stretch and forgive when someone absolutely upholds and supports a structure that will not just hurt me, but will hurt countless others.
So they're not responsible for the ramifications of their actions.
Or if they keep blaming you, like, well, I wouldn't have had to do this if it wasn't for your actions.
Oh, yeah. Much harder to blame someone who's blaming, forgive someone who's blaming you. You know what I would say about the bastard one? I would change that into, I would say, if it's much harder if we don't like them. If we like them, boy, can I forgive the people I like. Dale, what do you got?
I'm just not sure about if we like them. Maybe if we like or don't like how they act, what they say,
okay,
that it confronts our basic beliefs.
Okay.
I would say, Brian, intolerance.
If they're intolerant, which might fall under this, because they're intolerant of the way we think things should be. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Mason had something. I saw a hand went up.
That's a Patricia. It's a Patricia, actually.
Patricia, hi.
I find it harder to, when somebody doesn't respect my opinion,
yeah,
or doesn't even listen to me. I mean, I've listened to theirs.
Yeah. Right. Wonderful. Wonderful.
They got to agree with them, but I've listened to theirs, but if they totally dishonor me,
I don't want to forgive them. Yeah, I saw there's some other hands that were raised in the chat, and I'm having a hard time figuring out who those people are. Tamara?
One of them is me.
Okay, go.
Somebody who either says, well, I'll try not to do that anymore, or, well, that's just how I am.
Okay. It's harder if they just, that's not taking any responsibility.
Yeah, exactly.
Next, I'd love to hear from people I haven't heard from.
Hey, Brian and
yeah,
Jonathan here. If they know that whatever they did hurt you, if they're aware that they've done something hurtful, makes it harder to forgive them.
Oh, if they know that they're the bastard, sorry. Right. Okay. And hi, Jonathan. Hi, Ann.
Hello.
If they're aware of it, it makes it much harder. So that was the difference between the offense, the flaw, and the mistake, right? Mm-hmm. We have to look at that if it's a mistake, it might be easier to forgive. If it's a flaw that they have, oh, you know, they just really can't help it. But if it's an offense, if they intentionally went to do it, they were aware of it, that makes it really hard to forgive them, doesn't it?
Yeah. If they don't,
it is a singular occurrence.
I was going to say this is an adult forum, but I like
a flaw is part of the personality, and being offensive is total.
It is repeated. There's somebody who was just trying to say something while Jeffrey was going. Go ahead.
I think it was certain.
I heard a voice before Joe's. I don't know who it was, though.
That was me.
Marilyn, what do you have?
What if they're a narcissist that blames everyone else?
Yeah. That's what we got. We got blames you or they're a narcissist. Joe, what do you have?
Lee wanted to talk.
Lee.
Oh, sorry, Joe. All I was saying is Rabbi Brian, and usually I called him a purposeful prick.
Say that again, Lee.
Purposeful prick.
Purposeful prick instead of bastard.
Well,
I appreciate it. That's a great phrase. I'm going to start using purposeful prick because it also has alliteration. Allie, what do you have?
If they downplay their impact.
Yeah, they're not responsible. I don't really, that wasn't really my fault. Will, what do you have?
I was going to add, if I'm otherwise having a bad day for other reasons, I find it hard to.
5 points for Will. It's easier if I'm on vacation and things are going well, much easier to forgive people. But if I was having a crap day anyhow.
Right. Am I blowing it out of proportion? Is it really something I need to be mad about?
Great point, Will. Great point. Okay. So I'm going to move us along and say, unfortunately or fortunately, the great Jewish sage Moses Ibn Maimon, known by the mispronounced anglicized version of his Hellenized Arabic name Maimonides, or proper Greek, it would be called Maimonides. That was just for the nerds out there, because I care about these things. Greek for son of Maimon would be Maimonides, not Maimonides. He said that to not forgive someone is to perpetrate. Oh my goodness, that's horrible. Let me say that again. He said to not forgive if they ask for forgiveness. Let me make that distinction. If they ask for forgiveness and they try to do something and you don't forgive them, that is to perpetrate against them. Stick with that for a moment, because I'm about, yeah, I hope you can, because I'm going to jump off of that. And I'm going to say it this way. If it is to perpetrate by not forgiving, it would seem obvious to me that the universe would not want us to feel guilt any longer than necessary. So let me ask people at this time, and we are going to forgive ourselves now. So go back to the Google Doc if you're able to do it easily. Otherwise, I have other people who are able to do it. Go back to the Google Doc. And if you would do Command A, some tech savvy people, or do Select All any way you want to do it, because this document represents all the wrongdoings for which we have asked forgiveness. All the things that are wrongdoings between ourselves and our best understanding of the universe, not the things between ourselves and other people. If these are true, and these are the things for which the Day of Atonement affects atonement, then let me ask all of you who have selected all, at the time I count to three, I'm going to go backwards, 3, 2, 1, to please all, so nobody knows who was the one playing the hand of God, but it was all of us, to hit the delete key when I say 3, 2, 1. And that is forgiveness.
Wow.
Thank you. But I want this to stick. So in a moment, we're going to go into groups again. And I want you to say to each other, with some great intention, a version of the following phrase. And the phrase is this. As best as I understand it, you're going to say the person's name. You're going to say every person. You're going to say this to every person in your group. You're going to say, Betsy, as best as I can understand it, I heard the God of my understanding say that you have been forgiven. Kip, as best as I can understand it, the God of my understanding has said that you are forgiven. Meg, as best as I can, and you're going to go through every person in the group. And then every other person in the group is going to go around and say that same phrase to each other. You're going to say to each other, best as I can understand the universe, I understand that you have been forgiven. Best as I can understand it, I heard that God say you are forgiven. Any words that fit your particular theology, religious construct, faith. Okay, we're going to go back into the same small groups. Everyone understands the assignment.
Ryan.
Claudio.
Does God forgive everything?
That's the idea here. Yes. If it is something for which is between me and you, God cannot forgive.
So they can do whatever the hell they want all year long and just ask forgiveness once a year?
No. Let's go back. I read that specifically, and thank you for bringing it up again. It clearly says in the Talmud that if you're going to sin,
did you look in the boards of the film?
I am.
Yeah, I'm not getting anything.
because I remember the prompt very well. I wrote it. Allie, as best as I understand it, I heard God say that you are forgiven. Frank, for those things that you have done that you have asked for forgiveness for, as best as I understand what I heard God say that you are forgiven. Debbie, and whoever else is there in the room with you. Who is that? Hi.
Sydney.
Sydney. As best as I understand the universe and what I could make out of what I hear in the cosmic vibrations of life, you are both forgiven. Camille, as best as I understand it, you have been forgiven. And Donnie, as best as I understand it, you have been forgiven. And I'm going to ask somebody to start us off and to continue. Camille, would you mind doing it with everyone here?
I don't mind at all.
Go ahead.
Derek, as best as I can understand this universe, you have been forgiven. Debbie and Sydney, as best as I can wrap my head around this universe and understand anything, I understand you have been forgiven. Frank. As best as I can understand the universe, you have been forgiven. Allie, as best as I can understand this universe, you have been forgiven. Donnie, as best, and David, do I see more? Donnie, as best as I can understand this universe, you have been forgiven. Robin, as best as I can understand this universe, you have been forgiven. David, as best as I can understand
Camille,
this
universe.
Camille,
I think you're seeing many more people than we are.
Am I seeing many more people? Okay. Well, Rabbi Brian.
I'll take it.
As best as I can wrap my head even close to this universe, you are totally forgiven.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Allie, Frank, Deb, who wants to start next?
I don't remember. Go ahead, Allie.
Derek, to the best of my understanding of the God that I believe in, you've been forgiven. Debbie and Sydney, to the best of my understanding of the universe and God, you have been forgiven. Camille, to the best of my understanding of the universe and God and the world, you have been forgiven. Rabbi Brian, to the best of my understanding of God, you have been forgiven.
Thank you.
Did I get everyone?
You missed Frank.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Frank. Frank, you too. To
and the best Jerry, of my, who's there too.
And Jerry. Both of you guys, to the best of my understanding of the universe and God. Happened.
So,
go for it.
I'm not going to remember all of it. So, Rabbi Brian, first, thank you so much for doing this service. And for my understanding of God and the universe, you have been forgiven. Frank, for my understanding of the universe and God, you have been forgiven. Allie, the same. For my understanding of the universe, you have been forgiven. And not Sydney, but Naomi, for my understanding of the universe. Yeah, they gave her a different name.
It's okay.
She has been forgiven. Derek, also, for my understanding of God and universe, you have been forgiven. Debbie and Sydney, who are somewhere now, not there. But you, my understanding of the universe, you have also been forgiven. Camille, also, from my understanding of the universe, you have been forgiven. Donnie, Aaron, from my understanding of the universe, you have been forgiven. Robin,
I don't think those people are actually in this room, which is bizarre.
Oh, okay.
But thank
okay,
you.
So I don't know who else might be in there. But
Frank, I think you, and then we're all good.
Frank, from my understanding of the universe, you have been forgiven.
Frank, you are muted. If you would like to have a round, it's your turn.
Sure, I'll go ahead. From my understanding, Rabbi Brian, of the universe and of my God, you have been forgiven. Derek, from my understanding of the universe and of God, you have been forgiven. Debbie in Sydney, from my understanding of the universe and God, you have been forgiven. Debbie and Naomi, from my understanding of the universe and of God, you have been forgiven. Ali, from my understanding of the universe and of God, you have been forgiven. Jane, from my understanding of the universe and of God, you have been forgiven.
You're getting a really hard job because everybody's joining back. You don't have to do for everybody.
Oh, that's why. Okay.
you're doing well. But I think there's one guy behind you, Jerry, you might want to say it to.
Yeah. Jerry, from my understanding of the universe and of God, you have been forgiven.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Hi, Mom.
So there's a quote that I heard a long time ago from a minister, and I heard him say, and I will never forget, he said, "It is often easier to feel guilty than to feel forgiven." Another wording of this with more meat on it is, all have been forgiven. All have been forgiven. And all must live with the ramification of choosing to accept grace or not. All have been forgiven and all must live with the ramification of choosing to accept grace or not. When signing up for this service, I asked you to mark if you thought it was easier to be guilty than forgiven. And many of you said that it was harder to feel forgiven. My BFF Greg, his son recently accidentally broke the family's television. Greg forgave him. Nonetheless, 2 weeks later, a sobbing 14-year-old came into his parents' bedroom expressing again his remorse. And I will ask you all the same, do you truly feel and understand? You have heard it enough times, I hope, that you can understand that you have been forgiven. If you need, I have this. It is a certificate of absolution.
I love you.
It is good for one share of absolution for whatever the problem is that you are facing. And it's, well, here's the catch. I can't charge for this. I know that very well. That would be immoral. But this is not free. I cannot give it to you either. The way that it works is this. If you are willing to relinquish the guilt that you feel about the wrongdoing you have done and tried to make amends for, then I can give you this certificate of absolution. If you give me the guilt, I will give you this certificate of absolution. Now, of course, if you relinquish the guilt, you don't really need this certificate of absolution anyhow.
No.
Oh, Brian, look at the clever rabbi. Good job, Rabbi.
I just like to pass it along to people in my group.
Oh, you can. I will send it to you. So here's the deal. I will send a PDF of this to anyone who asks me, but I would like even more to send it to anyone. And here's going to be, folks, I don't know how else to do this, but here comes what would otherwise be known as a pitch. I love doing what I'm doing. I love helping thousands of people throughout the world. And in fact, we have people throughout the world on here tonight. I love doing, writing the articles, running the programs. I love running Religion Outside the Box to inspire people. And I'd appreciate if you would partner with me to make more of this happen. If you don't already make a monthly donation to support this work, please do. If you make a monthly donation and want to send a hat tip to me for this service, please do. There's a link that's come up right now. Alex, thank you for putting that link up. And also, I want to invite people to tomorrow's service. Tomorrow, there's going to be a service. It's called the Saturday Service, and I made a little video, and it looks like this.
You want to optimize wisdom,
can't hear it.
Rabbi Brian. It's a little Rabbi song.
Brian. I don't hear any.
I want to hear the song.
No sound.
I apologize. I haven't figured out how to get the sound to stream. You're going to sing to yourselves. You're all invited. So here, let me get us towards concluding. We're resigning ourselves to fate. And this is tricky. It's countercultural, and that's for certain. As confusing as it is, I have no choice except to profess that I have free will. I thought that was funny. Never mind. The idea here is about resigning ourselves, is that we've done all the parts that we can do. We've relinquished our guilt. We have heard God's voice as best as we've been able to, and we know we are forgiven. We've done our part. Now it's like watching a cake rise or watching mud settle. There's nothing you can do that won't make it worse. Here's a good quote. The proper response to the inevitable is relaxation. But going back, there's something else. I want you to go back and think about...
Yes. Slow down. You're going too fast, brother.
Sorry, Michael. Tell me, what was the last thing you remember?
Well, it's something about relinquishing the guilt. That was a big thought you had there.
Okay, I'm going to go back up for a moment.
Zipped right past this.
Hey.
He swallowed it.
Kids, you know this is the first time I've ever done this before.
I know, you could double the time what it is. What you're doing.
Thank you for stopping me, Michael. On our way, going back to the joke was that we want to get to faith and hope.
Gotcha.
Yes.
And that we don't want to start where we are, but where we are was in transgression, was in having done things wrong, was in guilt.
Right. Guilt, that's the essence.
If we understand that we have done everything we can to get rid of our wrongdoings, yeah. And if we truly hear the voice of God as best as we understand it, which might have just been the person in your small group telling you that you are right. forgiven, then it right. is upon us to no longer feel the guilt, but to move past it. To know that we've done our part and to stop dwelling in the past, because we're only going to make things worse. Is that helpful?
That's very helpful. Very helpful.
Yes.
Thank okay, good.
Amen.
Good work.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, hold on a second. I'm going to take a moment. We're going to switch our focus now to those we have loved and we have lost. If you feel so moved, I'm going to ask you at this moment in your own head, we're running short on time. Well, no, we're going to do this right. It might go a little bit longer. I apologize. So that Thank is. You. I want you to think about two people who you've loved and lost. And I want you to do like I'm going to do, is to say, at this moment, I remember blank and their memory. And in their memory, I will blank. In this moment, I remember blank. And in their memory, I will blank. For example, at this moment, okay, let me put it this way. We're looking at, we tried to get ourselves cleansed from all the sins, all the wrongdoings, all the shame, all the problems in the past. And we look now, it's Yisker, it's a time for remembrance. In a way, we ask our ancestors, we ask those who are already with God, whatever that means, if they would help us. And so we think about, at this moment, I remember, and at this moment, I remember my friend Mark. And in his memory, I will pack as much enjoyment into the day as possible. And I ask you to think about who it is that you have loved and you have lost. And in their memory, what it is that you know is incumbent upon you to do to get you from this bad neighborhood into the neighborhood we want to get to. So I'll ask maybe 4 or 5 people, who it is somebody you have lost, and in their memory, what it is that you need to do. Maybe we do this silently instead. I think that might be best. So I'm going to ask us silently to take a moment and to think about those we have loved and those we have lost. And I'm going to light a candle in memory of all of those who we have loved, all of those who would make it easier for us at this moment to get through what we need to get through. I will pray that our memory of all of these people will bless us in our year ahead, and that our memory of all of these people will inspire us to live lives that are fuller, that have less that pulls us down and more that lifts us up. And I ask us to think of all of the names of all of our loved ones. And I light this candle. I ask all of us to think of those who we loved and who we have lost. And we take their memories together in all of our hearts, and I ask all of us to now say amen.
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 Amen. May their memories be for a blessing. Leaping now. A leaping, and this is our last section, leaping towards the unknown, assuming that we can fly, our service will be ending. We started maybe not in the right neighborhood, not in the right place, but hopefully we got to where it is we wanted to go, or at least we have gotten ourselves on the road there, closer, closer to hope, closer to faith. Come back. Notice your breath. We started this service being conscious, knowing that our breath, something that we do without thinking, is something that if we think about is even sweeter. And remember to take all of ourselves and to come off of autopilot, to be aware. I pray that we all feel a little lighter. I hope we will all feel resolution and we will continue for periods of time to remain hope-filled, less shamed and awake. I will end with a true story of faith, faith being synonymous of a life with hope, a story and then a quote about living unafraid in a life of faith and surrender. The story is this. The story setting is a circus, and you and I are seated next to each other. We see a tightrope walker blindfolded push a wheelbarrow across the line, and you and I are surely impressed. Her wheelbarrow is then filled up to the top, brick after brick, until it's filled with bricks, and she starts again to go blindfold over the tightrope. Do you believe you can, I ask you? I have faith she can, you say to me with a wink and a smile. It's nerve-wracking but reasonable that she can do it, and she does. As we sit watching and impressed, I ask you, do you have the faith it would take to get into that wheelbarrow? Rabbi Israel ben Eliezer, a 17th century rabbi, lived a life of faith and hope. And let me remind you that every saint and every tzaddik was a human being just as you and I are. They had no magic power other than the power of perseverance and having faith that things will work out. He said, and it is with these words that I would like to end today's service. So I thank you very much for attending, and I hope to see many of you tomorrow at the Saturday service. And these are the last words of today's service. And these are his words. I will say it twice. He said, "Let me fall if I must fall. The one I am becoming will catch me." Let me fall if I must fall. The one I am becoming will catch me. I wish you a Shabbat Shalom, a good Yontif, with much love.
Yofi, thank you.
Love you, Rabbi Brian.
Shalom.
Shabbat
Shalom.
I feel warmly towards you.
Thank you.
Bye. And my dear friends on Facebook, my dear friends who are listening or watching this later, thank you so much for joining us.